This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson, you know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. Episode 360 with Marcus Dowling, who is a great, great writer, who is really on the scene in country music right now. He talks about the format, the genre, where it's going, where it's been. He's worked on a lot of different formats. It's interesting to hear his story about being in West Virginia and being introduced to country music. You know, he's done 3,000 interviews over 15 years. So I always like to bring in someone. And matter of fact, he just interviewed me for when I did Snake in the Grass. That's how I met him. And I went in, I was like, dang, this guy, he's really good, but there are a lot of good people, but there was something about him. And I think I mentioned it. He asked me a question I've never been asked before. And it wasn't just that, because you can ask me a lot of questions I've never been asked. Like, what color is a dog's liver? I don't know. Never been asked that before. But his was like, it was right on. I was like, dang, that's a great question. So he's just done so much. And I don't want to say a whole lot here because I think he says most of it. Mike, any takeaway from this interview with Marcus?
I mean, this felt like a master class in like country music.
Yeah, it was really good. He is the Nashville country music reporter for the Tennessean, which is part of the USA Today network, which basically is the biggest country music writer in America, and was the 2021 recipient of the Rolling Stone Chet Flippo Award for Excellence in Country Music Journalism. What I'm going to say, too, is going to be very vague, but we had to cut something from this because there's another award-ish thing happening, and we talked about it, but he can't talk about it right now.
We'll soon, but can't yet.
Yes, but he's very decorated. I hope you enjoyed this because I definitely did. Marcus Dowling. Follow him, Marcus K. Dowling, on Instagram and Twitter. And here we go, episode 360. Well, now we've flipped roles because the last time I was in the same room.
Yeah.
And you're putting it to be pretty good in a good way.
Yeah, no, I'm here for it.
I think before we continue on, so I met you because, and I don't want to mess your position up, you're like King Ding-a-ling of country music. That's what I would call it, the King Ding-a-ling writer.
I am the Nashville country music reporter at the Tennessean.
Which actually sounds really cool, and there's substance there, but it's even bigger than that in my mind because a lot of your stuff gets put in the USA Today as well.
Yes,
because this is the hub.
Yeah, this is the Nashville. Nashville is the Tennessee hub for the USA Today network, which is owned by Gannett. So it's a whole like multi-tiered system.
And since Nashville is the Tennessee hub, or since whatever, and you're running country music, that's your whole area.
Yes, like lock, stock, and barrel.
I think on your cards or your digital card now, it should just say King Ding-a-ling of writers for country music. You can have that. I'd let you have it.
I wish. I appreciate it. Like, I mean, it's funny because I work with Matt Limecooler and Dave Paulson at the paper, and they've been in the space as well for a long, long time. So it's a funny thing. It's like I came into this and was around a lot of bloggers and younger writers who were like, oh, country music, I love it, and really excited. And then when I interviewed at the paper, I met with Matt and Dave. And as like a journalist just in general, I'm like, oh, like those guys are great. And it was the first moment where it was like, oh, so like I can actually like act my age and feel comfortable in that and feel like this is the level that I was supposed to be at all along. So it's fascinating.
Just some of the stories that I've seen, because I started following you on Instagram after we met.
Yeah.
Like we went away and I was like, dang, I liked you.
Thank you.
I get interviewed by folks all the time, but I was like, dang, I like him. I don't follow anybody that interviews me.
I appreciate that.
And I was like, that's cool. I liked him. So I followed you, and then I started to see your stories because I follow your Instagram account, which, by the way, is it's just your name.
Yeah, at Marcus with a C-K Dowling, D-O-W-L-I-N-G.
Oh, there's a K, Marcus K Dowling.
Yeah.
That K. Okay, so Marcus K Dowling, and he puts these little things up, and it looks like a mini version of a written story. It's a little digital deal.
Exactly.
And I saw one, and you were with Jelly Roll.
Yes.
And so I would like to hear your takeaway from your time with Jelly Roll, because I spent some time with Jelly Roll as well.
It's funny with Jelly. So I worked in hip-hop for, over a decade. And I became aware of Jelly Roll in 2010-ish when he had just stopped working with Juicy J and working with Hypnotized Mind Records, I think. And it was him and Lil White and a couple other, like, you know, trap rappers who were renowned independent Southern trap rappers. And I knew who he was. And I was like, oh, okay, this is cool. And then, like, he got incarcerated, went away, came out of prison. And he popped back up on my radar, like, on this, like, indie rock thing. And I was like, oh, okay, it's the same guy. And then I listened to the songs and I was like, okay, there's like, legitimacy here. And it's not just, like, okay, kind of, like, throwaway, blog-ready, trap rock kind of thing. And then I dug even deeper, and I was like, okay, so at the same time that he was having his rise, Yellow Wolf was having his rise. He had a song called Pop the Trunk that I adore.
Who I knew Yellow Wolf from being introduced by Eminem way back in the day.
Yes, yeah. Exactly, right. So I was like, okay, so he has legitimacy in my eyes from way prior to this moment right now. And for me, the thing about him that's important is that he's able to synergize on a very street level, and country, rock, hip-hop hasn't operated on a street level ever before. And the Antioch thing that he's into right now, like, that's his, like, his, he reps his community, that's very much out of hip-hop. And he's doing this thing in rock and country. Like, he has a number one rock song, and very soon that will be a number one country song. And for a country to have that kind of street-level legitimacy, the closest thing I could think of to it is, like, if you talk about, like, Willie and those guys in Austin in the, you know, mid-70s. Like, that's the closest thing to it, but it's different because it's got that hip-hop flavor to it. So it has a different swagger.
What about some of the Atlanta country guys, though? Like, a little? I wouldn't say as much.
A little? Well, it's...
But like Zac Brown, for example.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that it's different in the sense that Zac doesn't have, like, a hip-hop, a true, like, deep, embedded hip-hop, like, legitimacy. Like,
well, I know, but Willie didn't have it...
Right, that's why I was saying it was different.
Right.
Yeah, I was saying it's definitely different in the sense that hip-hop swagger has not been present in the space probably ever in this way.
Right. I guess my only thing when you're referencing Willie was people that stay in their home,
right,
rep their home hard, and don't really go where everybody else says they have to go. And that's not even a hip-hop thing, but it's rare in country music.
Right. Right. I mean, it's on some level, you see it with Aldine with Macon in the same way.
He lives here. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean,
he still reps Macon hard. You know, he's got a whole record.
Right. So what'd you think about Jelly Roll?
I'm a huge fan. I think he's, to me, he is country's answer to Biggie.
In what regard?
Charismatic and sensual and in a way that you're not expecting. Like, I'm 44, so... I still remember when Biggie was a breaking artist and, like, reading about him in The Source and, like, seeing him on MTV for the first time, seeing him on BET for the first time, and you're like, there's something about this guy. There's an allure there, and then there's also obvious talent. And you don't get that mix of allure and talent in that frame of body. That's a very rare thing. And to me, he has that in spades. And to be able to have that in country, which has already been trending towards hip-hop already, there's a space that he can uniquely occupy that is there. That I don't think necessarily a lot of people see, but I feel it when I see him. I'm like, this guy's Biggie. Like, he is. And, you know, for me, coming with my background into this space, being able to, like, see that and know that and reflect that, I hope that adds some kind of value to his development.
I liked him because he was very authentic. And there's a difference in being authentic about the things you want to be authentic about.
Right.
And then just going, what do you want? We'll do it all.
Right.
And I can tell as someone who gets interviewed and does a lot of interviews, when someone is being authentic about the things they want to be authentic about, or they're just a for real person and I'll dance with you wherever you want. And I like even when I feel like the most authentic person at times will go, you know, I'd rather not talk about that because they would rather not. And they're being honest, but they'll tell you and everything else is wide open. A lot of folks, it's almost like it's the opposite of what it should be. I feel like the most real people, if you get to a place that they don't want to talk, they'll just go, hey, I don't want to talk about it.
Right.
Instead of like faking you out a little bit.
Yeah, but I think he's a person that has markedly less to lose than anybody else in the country space by a large margin.
I think you and I are similar in that we grew up on country music, but we worked in other places for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, I grew up in Arkansas.
Yep.
My grandmother shoved country music down my throat when I was a young kid, and I thought, well, it was contemporary. I thought it was like new country, and it wasn't. It was her country, right?
Right, right.
And so then I get 12 or 13, and I'm like, all right, I still love it. I'm gonna listen to it, but I'm gonna do some alternative stuff. I'm gonna do some hip hop stuff.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
And I worked in pop and alternative radio.
I'm aware.
I worked in hip hop.
Yeah.
So I feel blessed to have like all these tentacles that have been exposed to other things that allow me to see things a bit differently, or able to see transitions now where we are.
Yeah, it's. I think it's why people either love you or hate you, because in country there's not that acknowledgement of having a breadth of influence. Because again, I always tell people, country is 95 years old as a musical genre. It is arguably the oldest pop musical genre in the space, like pop, like, you know, people say the blues, whatever, but it's like popular, like, you know, mainstream music, country. And so troubling that and trying to think about that and look at that from different perspectives frustrates people. Or it makes them incredibly excited because, you know, but it's a very much a line in the sand conversation.
Or I feel like they're ill-educated because country music came from basically two places, the slave ships and Europe.
Exactly.
It was two out influences that came over to the States, and people, they're like, we don't like our outside influence. Country music is all outside influences.
Right, but even that is a collision that is awkward, that's troubled by, you know, like American history. So it's like, okay, so it's like you have like people who are from a folk background in Appalachia, and you have, you know, black people who bring their banjos over from Africa. And that's troubled by slavery as a concept. So, and in reality. And when you combine those things together, that's obviously a point of real tension. And it's always been tense. For me, it's like when I talk about, like, you know, like the Black Country Movement, a thing that people obviously like associate me with in a lot of ways. It's like I say, okay, so we've been this tense for a very long time. Acknowledging that we're not going to make this any less tense tomorrow. That's not the goal, is to not make this less tense. The goal is to make this more right. And that, acknowledging that and accepting that, I think is the first thing. And I don't know where that fits in our conversation, but I just wanted to make sure that was said.
No, it fits in our conversation in that that's what you and I talk about all the time, every day, all day.
Right.
Right? And that's what we try to push along all the time.
Right.
You know, when you talk about, I don't want to say genre bending, because it's not even what it is anymore, but people that are open to outside influences inside the genre, like Hardy, and I saw your story with Hardy.
Yeah, oh yeah, I went to Whiskey Jam, had to.
And so, I know Hardy a little bit.
Yeah.
What is your takeaway from spending time with Hardy?
He's a rock star. In the most authentic sense of it. And I think that the journey for him has been backwards in some ways, because there's a lot of reclamation of like early 2000s, late 90s rock tropes that he's finally come to a point in his career where I think success allows you to be able to have that space to be able to say, okay, I want to make like a Puddle of Mud, Kid Rock, like early 2000s, pop, mainstream top 40 record. And when you hear like Sold Out, you're like, okay, like you can call it whatever you want, but I know that that's a rock record. And I know that that identifies him as a rock star. And exactly everything that that means is exactly what it means. And for him to be able to do that is important, incredibly important. And I think that that's part of the conversation. If you could say that, like, you know, Breland's doing this or Jimmy's doing that, and you know, other artists are doing whatever, to say that Hardy's willing to be a rock star in the country space is as important and as necessary. Because we don't necessarily, we haven't had people fully embrace the rock thing. Like, it's like you've been a rock star, but you still have to wear the cowboy hat. You know, and there's none of that in Hardy's, like, you know, like presentation right now.
Where he gets the cred that people go, you don't have to wear a cowboy hat, is that he writes great country songs.
Yeah.
And people go, well, he's country because he writes all these great country songs.
Exactly. And I think that there's value in that. It's the same thing with him and with Ernest, too. In a sense that Ernest was a rapper long before he was a country artist. And in that sense where it's like you can make music, but as in some way, if your career touches an intrinsic part of like the country like architecture, like if you're a writer or a producer or an arranger or a session musician, whatever, if you do something else, that's fine. But if you have a piece of that that is like authentically country, and I think that that's where, like, the rubber hits the road.
I think for me, what allowed me to push through the first few years when I was constantly attacked for not being country was that I grew up country.
You're from Arkansas.
I'm from a rural town that I would encourage. Like, go to my home. That's what I'd be like, go to my home.
Dude, I'm from Washington, D.C. Imagine me.
And I think to your point, like, eventually people were just like, all right, we have to believe him because he's not somebody from, you know, Brooklyn.
Right.
That's going, trust me. I'm. It's like, go listen to me talk.
Yeah,
go to my home.
It's,
you know,
everything.
And that was only one, but I had that, like, a touch. That was part of me, even though I had all these other influences.
Oh, of course.
But you and I grew up in the Napster time.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think we were the first generation to, we didn't have to work very hard to be exposed to other things.
No.
We just had to be open to liking other things. And that was pretty easy because it was all available.
So I was a DJ in high school and college. And part of, like, when I graduated from college, my first job out of college was DJing at small bars in and around, like, Georgetown and George Washington University area of D.C. And I was a DJ. I was blessed to be a DJ in the late 90s and early 2000s because you would get, like, the CD books. And everything was in there, you know, like, and, you know, I was typically playing college bars. So you're playing everything from, like, Sweet Caroline to, again, like, Limp Bizkit. And then you're playing, like, House of Pain and Method Man. And, you know, it's, like, all on the same night. And if you don't understand how to facilitate the transitions, you're a bad DJ. And that's, like, the last thing you want to be. So, like, you start to just, like, intrinsically understand and, you know, just... Life-wise, I have intense curiosity. So, you know, that was just part and parcel of it for me.
Where did your love of country music come from and when?
Oh, gosh. Okay. So I was 8 years old, 1986. The year before, for a summer vacation, my mom took myself and a friend of mine to Florida. We drove down from D.C. to Orlando to Disney World. On the way back, our car broke down and we had to fly back. My mother was like, I will never incur that expense ever again to take you on vacation ever.
What she got from it?
Yeah.
No more vacations for you?
No,
when the car,
like,
broke down,
yeah,
that was
she was
what
like,
she got from
she
it.
Was like, because she had to immediately buy like 4 plane tickets. And she was like, that's crazy. I am not going to do that. Like, I grew up around a corner from Section 8 housing. That was not going to be a thing that my mother wanted to do. So my aunt had won 2 double wides on The Price is Right in 1975.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, she won. So she won, like,
that's awesome.
She won the pricing game. And then she did the double showcase showdown thing where you're within $100. Yeah, so she won, like...
And then she won both showdowns?
Yeah, so...
Wow.
Yeah, so she had... So there were two... There was a double wide trailer in the pricing game, and there was a double wide trailer in the showcase. So she had 2. So she parked them in Falling Waters, West Virginia. And we went up there to, like, rent the trailers for 2 weeks. And there was a family that lived across the path. And they had, like, the aluminum siding double wide. Like, they lived at the trailer park. And they had 2 kids. And they saw this woman and her boyfriend, and my mother's boyfriend at the time, and my friend who was with me the year prior. Like, they saw us, and they're like, oh, we have 2 kids, and if you just want to hang out with your boyfriend all night, like, we could take your kids off your hands. And promptly, I was sent across the path. And on Friday and Saturday nights in Falling Waters, West Virginia, whatever local TV, you know, stations they had there, they would have Hee Haw followed by the Grand Ole Opry. And this is, I'm an 80s baby, so I kind of knew what country music was. My mom watched Dallas. Like, I knew who Kenny Rogers was by sight, who Dolly Parton was by sight, Conway Twitty. But, like, you'd watch Hee Haw and the Opry, and these people, like didn't look like country politan 80s stars. They looked like, you know, like the you know, nudie suits and, you know, like they're like the square dancers and with their taps and the whole get up. And I'm like in tassels and I'm like, these people look crazy. And I'm 8 years old and I grew up where I grew up. So I haven't heard a lot of Southern accents in my life. So I'm like, these people sound crazy. But I'm like, the stories are incredible. So I just became hooked. And it's always kind of trailed me in life. Like at every point in my life, like I've always made time to like check in with country music. Like, so I had like a deep curiosity and a passing knowledge of like whatever was pop of the era. But like my real wheelhouse was like between like, I always say 65 and 83. That's my wheelhouse. That's the stuff that like I'll always go back to and listen to. Like, it's like, yeah, this is like if I'm like driving down the road or if I'm like taking a run or whatever, like if you knock me over the head and grab my Spotify playlist, you'd see a lot of that stuff.
So West Virginia, it turns out to be kind of the birthplace of your country music love.
86, Keith Whitley, like Dolly Parton, Conway Twitty, like Kenny Rogers, you know, Charlie Pride was like the
only.
What'd
your mom think about her kid listening to country music?
Oh my God, my mom hated it. She hated it. She was like every single trope of like white redneck America, she like fostered whenever I would listen to country music for any extended period of time. She'd be like, oh, well, you know, they're all rednecks. Or, oh, like, you know, you should learn. That's how I learned about the Civil War. Like, my mom's like, well, you know, if you listen to this music, there's all these, you know, they're Confederates. And this is how the Civil War happened. And I'm like 10 years old. And I'm like, wow, really? But I'm like, look at that shirt. Mom, like, hey, look, Jesse Coulter looks really cool on TV. So what am I supposed to do?
So you listen to country music, but you're probably also, because that's the golden age, the birth of hip hop, too.
Yep.
I mean, that's when
I did a panel for Music Biz Conference, and I was myself with One the Duo, who's the ex girlfriend of RZA and her daughter, are in a country duo. And when I was preparing them for the thing, like, she's, you know, like, obviously got a connection with New York hip hop, and so I'm like, well, you think about like great storytellers, who pops in your head? And she goes, well, I think about Slick Rick. And I was like, oh, so we should get up on stage and do children's story. And we did, in front of like an entire room of like, you know, country music executives. And they look at us like, and then I was explaining the story of the song and they're like, wow. And it was, I mean, I got off the stage, this woman comes up to me and she goes, you know, I might like rap now. And she's like in her 60s,
right,
clearly. And I'm just like, wow, like it took me to like explain to you like the first 8 bars of children's story for you to get it. Okay, cool. Whatever it takes, right?
For me, a good writer or even a good curator, they don't have an agenda, but they have an agenda at the same time to give people a different outlook or maybe expose them in a different way.
Yeah, you're dead on with that.
So there's no agenda in that you're going to create a story. But maybe, and I'm not saying you, I'm doing the universal you.
Yeah.
I'll do me.
Heck, right. We can do me. It doesn't matter either way.
So I don't want to feed you some bull crap and give you some false facts, but I definitely have a perspective constantly and consistently about how I feel about this genre. And I've been praised and ridiculed at the highest points on both.
Yeah.
And I've always had this perspective, and it's mine, and I own it. Now, here you're here now, and you're writing. You are writing for the biggest, the most powerful publication that writes on country music. So you have to have that. Not an agenda to make things happen, but an agenda to cover it from your perspective.
It's a thing with, like, so Ben Goad is my boss at the paper. We had a sit-down conversation, like, first day. He's like, well, what do you think about the job? And I'm like, well, we just have to cover the best music. And to me, that's like, so great aside, like I saw Morgan Wallen twice at the Bridgestone Arena. This is after I spent most of last year like writing like honest, hard-hitting, brutal, real pieces about racism. But I'm like, he also has 4 billion streams on Spotify. So like, yeah, I'm going to sit there for 2 nights because I need to understand impartially, because I care more about the job and I care more about the readership of the Tennessean than I care about what anybody thinks about me. Because I know at the end of the day, I have to have an unbiased, unfettered opinion about all of this. If my opinion stops at 99.97% of country music, and there's 0.3 of it that outsells 25 artists whom I think are great, then I'm not doing my job. So, like, for me, that's the thing. It's like, I'll do that. I'll also write about Joy Clark, who's an amazing virtuoso, like, black lesbian guitarist who, like, you know, I met at Americana Fest last year, and she's now playing with Alison Russell's band. I'll write about her in the same space. Like, that's what you do. Because it's like, to me, I have a week. Like, I have a whiteboard. It's like the week of country music. And if I'm not covering to me what are the most compelling stories that week, even ones that push me and stretch me and make me have to, like, step outside of myself or reconsider things or notions that I would have outside of me having this job, that's what I do. You know, like I said, I went to Whiskey Jam. I was like, you know, like, a lot of my friends who, like, you know, look at me from D.C. or wherever else, and they're like, so you, like, went to, like, Whiskey Jam for, like, 4 hours and, like, sat there and, like, watched these guys, like, play country music. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, why? And I'm like, well, it's the culture of the city. I'm like, if you actually go to Lower Broadway, the music that Hardy and Ernest and Ben Burgess are making kind of, like, defines the top 1% of what Nashville's doing on some level. And I wouldn't be doing my job. Like, yeah, is it a fascinating thing to do? Of course. But that's the job. So, of course, I'm going to do the job. I do the job first.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct-to-consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Is your agenda to cover the most compelling music stories?
Yeah.
Because somebody's agenda could be to cover the newest late-breaking artist or to cover the, you know, there's all...
Yeah, so, but to me, it's like, if It's a rule I have with new artists, right? Because nobody's new in country. Everybody takes like, you know, a decade to become new. It's a beautiful thing. But to me, it's like, if you're new and you're making the best music, in my unbiased opinion, then I'm going to have something to say about the music that you are making. Like, unquestionably. And that's the thing. It's like for like right now, I have like two stories I'm working on about Pillbox Petty. Because Nicolette is an A-plus level writer, and her music is expanding the expectations of what women do in the genre in a way that hasn't been expanded in like 50 years. And I'm like, I have to cover that. And she's new, you know, she's, if I walked down the street to the Publix, 1% of the people in Publix know who she is. But am I going to put her into Tennessee? Absolutely. Like, she's making great music, and she's on the Ashley McBride album, and, you know, she's got her stuff, and, you know, she's working and relevant. So that's the way I look at it.
I saw you did a story on Ronnie Dunn.
Absolutely.
Because he has a new record out.
Yeah.
What's your experience personally like with Ronnie? Like, you go to a room and you meet him. How does Ronnie come off to you?
Well, for me, Ronnie Dunn is, like, essential to country because people, if you don't know country music, you would really wonder why I would give a million craps about somebody from Oklahoma. Like, to me, Oklahoma, Texas, that area, that red dirt area, that to me is like the bread and butter of the genre. And Ronnie understands that space better than almost anybody. He's like, unquestionably, people want to ask why Neon Moon is one of the greatest songs of all time. Because it for a large part of an enormous genre in music, that song best defines what that look, sound, feel, and texture of a culture feels like. And when you talk to him, it's just like, it's funny. He's the only person I've ever met who, if you put him on too high of a pedestal, will immediately lower himself to your level by talking, like, we were talking, and he's like, yeah, this, but you know, have you heard Parker McCollum? He's on my record. And he's like, that guy, he looks like he stepped out of the gym, and I like, you know, his look, because he's got that Texas thing going on. And you're just like, wow. Because the funny thing I learned from him was like, and especially it's the thing that I love about country, is that you could be at the pinnacle of the space, but because you feel competition every day, because Nashville is that kind of town where like somebody could have 45 number one hits and somebody has 50 that walks in the room right after them. Like, you're always competing. You're always working. So you're always comparing yourself to whatever you feel is the newest, hottest, youngest, most relevant thing, because you're almost like trying to figure out, well, where do I compare, and am I better or am I worse, or what could I do to like meet or exceed that level?
I don't want you to say any names, because I wouldn't say names if you asked me this question either. But do you ever, because you get to sit down and get intimate with these folks.
Yeah.
Usually go to a place where they're comfortable, and when they're comfortable, they get comfortable faster.
Yeah.
You ever sit with someone and go, all right, this person's not even really in this. They're putting on something that's completely false just to make a buck, or because they couldn't hit it somewhere else.
Okay. It's a funny thing with me when it comes to interviewing, because I've interviewed you, so you've sat across from me. My job is to pull down your barrier before we even ask the first serious question. If I can't pull down the barrier, then I know that, like, I know something about this person is not at all legitimate or relevant in what they're trying to do or trying to accomplish. And I find ways to make sure that I meet my subject wherever they are in their creative process and what they're doing. Like, that to me is more important than anything. Like, understanding, like, okay, you make music because you just want to meet cool girls. There are a lot of people who make country music because they want to meet cool girls, they want to meet a wife, they want to have three kids in a, you know, four-car garage, and that's it. And if I could find that in that person, and we dive in on that, and then I work back around to the music and all the other stuff I need, then that's an interview of value, because I've found something about this person where I know that I'm going to get pure, honest, unadulterated facts. And for them, when I come at them at that level, half of the interview sometimes I feel like they're like off put because they're like, wait, how does this guy know that about me? That is strange and weird, and I've never really told anybody that. But, and that just comes from me from years of just like observing people. Like, music is people, you know? It's like, if you sing a song or you write a song, something of yourself is in that song. And me as a journalist, my job is to like figure that thing out and expose it to the whole world. And hopefully that impacts their development or their fan base or their economic bottom line or whatever.
I don't know if it was strategy by you, because if it was, it was an awesome one, or if it just happened to be the luck of the day. But, you know, you were here and you interviewed me, and I had done 55 interviews in a row. And so I came in and I had no barrier. My barrier had been eaten away. Any barrier that I even wanted, I was exhausted, but it's the best place to get me.
Yeah.
Because I just don't care anymore. I don't care for the most part anyway, for the most part.
When it comes to you and me, we're the same person. We're opposite sides of the same coin. And it took me like a day of just like looking at the YouTube channel and going, oh, I think I know Bobby Bones pretty well. Like, and then I realized you're 42 and I'm 44. So, and then I realized you're a cultural influence of mine. And I'm like, there's a lot of similarities here. And I'm like, if I just talk to you point blank, straight, there's something about like the way that you create magic when you interview people and the way that I try to create magic where I interview people, where I'm like, something really special could occur.
Well, you asked me something no one's ever asked me before. And again, as you've done 3,000 interviews,
yeah,
and I've done many myself, I've been interviewed many times, it's rare when something new happens.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting here and we're talking, having a good time. I like you. We're,
right.
And most interviews go, oh, look at this. You did bestsellers. Look at you. You did this show. You did this. And they're all like, which one? What's your favorite? What? And you went, what do you not have? And I was like, oh, that's refreshing. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me sit up straighter. And I remember getting like fired up, not at you, at the fact that I'd never get to host the ACM or CMAs, because I live right with that. I was just with a friend of mine who is so upset that I'm not going to attach a gender to them, that they are not asked to perform at the CMA or ACMs, and they have a ton of number ones.
Right.
And this person is like, I don't get it. Like, I've done everything. And I'm like, bro or sis, same. And I was talking about my interview with you, and I said, you know what, I've complained about it internally. We've had all the meetings. I have all the credentials and requirements. Mm-hmm. And but because of whatever political things happening behind the scenes, this person and myself in different worlds, but they're a big star.
Yeah.
And
no, I get it.
And so you asked me that, and I went, oh, I'd like to share this now. Thank you for asking. I've never talked about that publicly.
No, I appreciate it, because it's like, because to me, it's like, it's the Satchel Paige, like, hit it where it ain't thing, you know, where it's like, that's what I think about all the time when I think about those things. It's like, if you, because it's like, I've talked to like Quincy Jones, and I've talked to like, so I'll give you an example. My very first interview I ever did,
ever,
2008, like
ever.
When I was like in journalism, like I am okay in music journalism, this is what I do, was with Tina Marie. My mother raised me on Tina Marie. She's like, in my mind, there, at a certain age in my life, there was no more beautiful woman on planet Earth to Tina Marie, and I walk into her hotel room to interview her, and she's done everything that I would ever think that somebody who, you know, makes R&B should do. So I'm just like, okay. And it's like, so it was funny. It's like, the first thing I asked her, like off the record, I'm like, is there anything that Rick didn't do for you, Rick James, that you wish he would have done at a certain point? And she just stops and she looks at me and she goes, I don't know. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, the interview starts, and there's, like, this outpour of all of these things that she did later in her career that she wishes that this person who was intrinsically related to, like, the start of her career would have done then, so that she didn't have to do them then. And it was this weird perspective switch, and that's like too inside baseball probably for people watching.
Well, that's what this is, though. It's all inside
baseball. Yeah, but no. So, okay, I guess it works then. But that's the thing. It's like, so I always go back to that, and it's like anytime I sit in a room with somebody who I know has done, like, everything, it's like I go back to, like, little points like that and other little points where it's like, it's the things, either that you gloss over, that you realize are bigger later on in life, or the things that you literally just don't have, that are the things that create the compelling point that, like, because for me, like, I also try to make everybody really human, because like I said, music is human. So I try to make everybody human. And I'm like, okay, so like, and I know you have a giant fan base of people who tune in, watch, subscribe, whatever. And I'm like, okay, so like, the value here, and also like for the Tennessean's subscriber-based, like, you know, publication, you know, Tennessean.com, $1 for 6 months. That's the whole thing. Like, that's my job. Like, do it. Marcus, make it happen. And I'm like, all right. So I know, I'm like, all right, there has to be something of like extraordinary value. And typically that's the personal. So I'm like, okay, well, I need to find something personal about somebody. And I'm like, well, that might yield something. And then when you said what you said, I was like, well, okay, all right, that's the thing. I feel good about it.
Yeah, because I have no problem going anywhere personal. And it's been asked. I have offered it. It's been asked. But you asked that, and I was like, I felt like inside my ribs, like it got a little warm. And I was like, all right. No, I've never been asked this. I'm pretty passionate. I have a reason to talk about it because I didn't just bring it up.
No, of course. Like that's the fun of it. Like that's the fun of the interview process and being a journalist. When like I've done like 3,000 of these things now. So it's like when you get to that point where you know that if you make a push, it's going to hit something. Like you don't really you can't ever go into an interview knowing what you're going to hit. Like, you can have a list of questions in the back of your head, like, I want to talk about this and this and that and that. Like, I'm snaking the grass, and I want to talk about the show and country music. And then it's like, okay, wait. So if I ask about this, I felt it. I'm like, okay, we can push here. Maybe something will come out of this. I don't know. And then something does, and I'm like, oh, all right, here we go. You know?
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. Talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or you like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. Tecovas.com.
Tecovas.
Yeah. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on StraightTalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
Do you ever have, and we experienced this pretty recently, where someone's like, hey, I would like to do a little like the PR team reaches out. We'd love for you to interview them, but you know, they don't want to talk about this. And you're like, no, but if they don't talk about that, then I can't talk with them. Because
it's so I get that all the time, actually, because it's country music. So, you know, and the thing with me is that that's why I do research, because I could do an entire interview with somebody and not mention the thing, but I could talk about a whole bunch of other stuff that's fascinating about somebody and still have it have value, even without that obvious big thing that we're not supposed to discuss, like, you know, the hidden thing. It's like, especially if it's an artist who has like done something over a period of time, because typically it's like legacy artists. They have those like, well, don't ask about that thing or this thing, but it's like, well, they also did like 100 other things. And I also understand, like, in any space that I work in, whether it's been hip hop or EDM or whatever, like, I understand culturally what's going on in the space. And I'm like, okay, so let me find like the value for this person to this space. It's like, that's why I like interviewing like 80s and 90s country stars right now. Like, that's one of the coolest parts for me about like CMA Fest, for instance, when they're like, hey, you get to talk to Shenandoah and Sarah Evans today. And I'm like, yo, all right, like, let's go. And they're like, really? Like, they're playing first and second. And but I'm like, no. I'm like, if you ask any artist who wants to get to where Sarah Evans is about their interest in Sarah Evans, they want to know. Like, they really need, like, that answer. So, like, maybe I'm not doing this interview for, like, 10 trillion people. Maybe I'm doing it for, like, 500 female artists who are aspiring to get to Nashville. But if that yields a generational pop country crossover superstar because they heard Sarah Evans say, I use Mariah Carey for vocal cues, then we've achieved a bigger thing. And that's the stuff that matters, you know, like, on some level, like, this can't all just be like, you know, like, gossipy throwaway journalism. Like, not that there's anything wrong with that, because there's a certain market for that too, but on some level, like, you have to do something that has some kind of value somewhere.
You'll still take and do the interview if they're like, we don't want to talk about this. You'll still do it and just find another way.
Oh, yeah.
So you're a better person than I am. I'm like, I'm out. And I don't even have to ask about
it. No, man. Like, it's because a lot of this for me is like, understand, like, I laugh at it because I'm like, I like watched Crooked Chase a lot as a kid.
You know? They're coming in a few weeks.
Amazing.
Yeah. So I'm super pumped about that.
Like, you know, so I would watch these shows, and for me, when I get the opportunity, it's the one thing that, like, and you're getting me back now because I'm saying something I never said before. It's the one thing for me that always gets me is, like, I have the moment that I saw on TV happen in my life. That's always cool. So it's like, if it's like, insert artist here, they don't want to talk about this, that, and that. But did I see them get interviewed in 2004 on CMT? Yeah. Okay, well, I want to interview him in 2022 because, heck, like, I watched that interview back then and I had questions I wanted to ask. And I obviously would have never imagined that a time would have come in my life where that would have been an opportune thing to do.
Most viral interview you've ever done?
Oh, God.
Just.
Yeah, I did one with Walker Hayes. At So, funny thing with Walker. Everybody asked Walker the same set of questions. Like, Applebee's, TikTok, dancing. And nobody had asked him what he thought about having to get to a point in his career where learning how to use social media was the most important thing. Like, it blew my mind. I'm like, wow, that's the obvious question. Like, he's been here for 17 years. When you get to a point where you have to pick up a telephone, you can't, like, go into a writer's room. Like, the thing that defines your career is, I'm going to pick up this telephone and I'm going to do this dance and it's going to fit the song and it's going to amplify my career. Nobody asked him that question. So I asked him the question at ACMs and it did big numbers. And I was very happy to see that because that's the thing that I'm talking about. Because it's like, on some level too, for me as like a writer and creator in the digital era, you have to be able to like look at the trends and say, okay, so like, I can't do like, not to throw anybody under a bus, but I can't do like 7:30 p.m. TV journalism. I cannot. That is not a thing that I am equipped to do. There are many things I can do. That is not one of them. So I'm like, my take on it is I'll do it if you force me, but I'm going to try to find like the blind spot in that whole space and make that the push of my work. Like, if you want me to do it, I'll do it, but I'm going to do it this way. And every so often, I hit a lick, and it's a good look.
I was talking to Kathy Lee Gifford a couple of days ago. She was talking about interviewing Martin Short, and she was asking about his wife, and she was like, you guys are such a great couple. Show ended. His wife had died a year ago of cancer.
Yeah.
But she didn't know that. Here right. She is asking him, oh, your wife, how is she? But he didn't want to embarrass her on TV.
Right.
So he waited till the show was over, and he was like, hey, listen, I know you didn't know, but my wife died a year ago of cancer. And she was like, that's the biggest, like, dumbest question I ever asked. And she's like, I'm prepared. And I guess she just knew them.
Right.
And so she didn't look that.
Yeah.
You ever get in one of those situations?
Oh, God. This is so funny story. I was at CMA, and Lainey Wilson is an artist I've, like, written a lot about as she's had her moment. So earlier that day, like, the big announcement had come out about her and Yellowstone. And I'm doing this interview, and this is proof to the research that I do. I had like a whole set of questions I wanted to ask Lady in my head, and her PR is looking at me and going, like, she's like off camera, like looking at me like, you're not asking the one thing I need you to ask a question about, Marcus. Like, and I'm asking about every other thing under the sun, and she's just talking, and it's glib, it's a good conversation, and then we get done, and she goes, Marcus, I need 30 more seconds on camera. And I'm like, why? And she's like, Yellowstone. And so I like pulled up my phone. I said, yellow. Oh, crap. Okay, sorry. Like, and it happened in the period of time from like the period that like I had stopped doing my research to like the moment I had her on camera, this thing had been announced.
And that one tiny window about her, the biggest thing about her in a long time had happened.
Yeah, and I was just like, and so we get back on camera. It was fine. And it's like, it was edited just fine. But for me, it's like those are the moments that happen where I'm like, because it's like you work so hard and you think you got it. And then it's like those little tiny things. But I think that's a thing that happens to a lot of artists that I interview. Because I end up like, so red carpets are the bane of my existence. There's no worse place to do an interview than in 3 minutes on a red carpet. But we do them all the time because it's a whole part of the award show experience. So you find these like older acts who get asked like the same six questions. Like, you know, it's like, so like Sarah Evans, I use Sarah as a perfect example. Like, she gets asked about Suds in a Bucket like 100 million times. And she has like the same 90 second snippet. So it's like, I stopped her and I asked her about like her like vocal quality. And she looked at me for a second like I had invented fire. She was like, what? Oh, yeah. And then I had another question that was like not about Suds in a Bucket or any of her like spate of hits that people typically ask her about, and she gives the same 90-second question. And so we get to the end of it, a 90-second answer, and then at the end of it, I ask about, like, you know, like, yeah, so, like, you know, for these songs, and how do you feel about, like, you know, people, like, having these moments when they hear your music now, 20 years later? And then when we get done, she's like, I appreciate that interview. And I'm like, well, yeah, like, you know, that's the least you can do. Like, because a lot of times you find with those older artists, like, people will do that kind of like short-sighted research and they'll miss giant things or just not ask questions that are reflective of somebody's like breadth of scope of work.
Next week, we've had some issues here at home, so I'm not gonna be able to do it, but I was going to LA to do AGT, not to perform,
yeah,
but to do some Snake in the Grass promo and be part of the show.
Yeah.
And I was looking forward to seeing the girl from Chapel Heart.
Chapel Heart.
Which I was introduced to a couple years ago. They had sang the national anthem at an event.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, this is pretty good. So Mike and I started playing them on my Women in Country Music show.
Yeah.
And so we played them pretty consistently for an inconsistent show where I can't play people 2 weeks in a row, really, for the most part.
Yeah.
And so we'd started playing Chapel Heart and loading them up, and people would ask questions. But we had played that song. We'd played the Jolene song, though.
Yeah.
Before. Yeah, way before.
It's a hit.
Yeah. So we were playing that
like a year ago.
Yeah, like
it's a hit. It's a hit.
So they, you know, they go on AGT and they get the gold ticket. And so I was looking forward to just being like, look at you guys. This is awesome. You talked to them pretty recently.
Yeah.
Where are they now? What mental space are they in?
So it's funny with them. Like to give you a scope of like my time with them, when I started at CMT last year, they were CMT Next Woman in the Country. I saw them play in Annapolis, Maryland, and I introduced them on stage. So like I they're at a place where they are over prepared for success. I put them in the same group that I put Madeline Edwards, Miko Marks, and artists who are like vastly, Wendy Moten too, who are vastly overprepared for the moment. Lainey Wilson in there as well. Like people who like, who always show up as if their moment is about to occur. Like that's been Chapel Heart's grind. They are charismatic. They understand how to do three-part harmonies better than probably anybody else, like in the space. Like they are that good. They have a stage performance that is great. Because again, when you're at that point of doing this for as long as they have been doing it, and doing it in the spaces that they've had the opportunity to do it in, like they tour parts of the country that are like dyed-in-the-wool, like country music spaces. And that's what they know. It's not like they like came from some other genre, or they're like country artists that are, you know, like a lot of black country artists get pigeonholed into being on, you know, neo soul or R&B showcases, and you know they're like playing their guitar and trying to fit. But no, Chapel Heart plays like country places. Like they're like Louisiana, Arkansas, Alabama, like that's Oklahoma, Texas. Like they're in it, and so they're just like ready. They're overripe. Like they're having fun. Like I called them the day after it happened. I called like their manager and got them on the phone. And I'm like, how is it? And they're like, great. Oh my God. Like we did it. And finally it's happening. And I'm like, yeah. And it's a cool thing. It's because it's like the same thing with Wendy Moten on The Voice. Like after Wendy had her moments on The Voice, I would call her up and be like, how are you? And she's like, yeah, it's finally happening. Oh my God. And it's a cool thing to see when people who are overprepared for success are able to just execute at the highest level and slay it out of the gate.
It'll be interesting to see what happens after the show. And I think I have an interesting perspective because, one, I worked on American Idol for 4 years, and I would see these kids or young adults win, and you only got a brief window to capitalize on that because then nobody cares again.
Right.
So you have it. So I was able to watch it and work it. But then I also won Dancing with the Stars, where I had a brief window in that world of the LA TV world to capitalize, because soon nobody cared again.
Yeah.
And so my advice is always to folks who go on a show like this is, you finish the show, like you're not going to come away out of this and be a big star. What you got to grab on and hold on and grind is that next step up. Well, don't try to jump three steps, because you can get that next step right now. It's handed to you.
The best play that they made was making the direct offer to the Opry as soon as they got the golden ticket. Like, brilliant. And they got it, and I'm going to be covering that on September 18th. They make their, like, Opry debut.
Which, again, they had that window. They said, let's pick our one or two things that we can, and they hit it.
Knocked it out of the
park. That was a home run move by them to go, we're not going to go, we want to headline the CMAs.
No.
They went, we want to play the Opry. That is an elevation, and we think we can get that right now.
And Dan Rogers is not unaware, and Jordan Pettit, they're not unaware. They know what the deal is. And, you know, like, I am, it's one thing with, like, reparational equity in Nashville right now, like, where people are showing up, not because, oh, God, George Floyd, whatever, protests, Black Lives Matter, like, all of those, like, prerequisite things. We're 2 years past that now. Now it's just a thing where, like, if you put certain acts on stage, especially black female acts for the most part, these are people who show up and blow away your stage in a way that like is within the established conversation. It's not like, you know, like Breland too, like at the Opry, like within the conversation, but also expanding it in a way that isn't troubling or difficult to the established audience. I always say, like, if you go to the Opry, that is country music. Like those people, like the 4,400 people that go to the Opry and sit there, like that's country. And if they're like standing ovation, you're okay.
Yeah, because you don't get that for free.
No, absolutely not.
I don't care what you look like, you don't get that for free.
Right.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. Tecovas.com.
Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
It's interesting that, you know, where you talk about Nashville, and I have found that just giving people chances, and we've seen a lot of black artists, they've been given chances in the last two or three years, more so than I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just about exposure, right? For me, because I'm being exposed now,
mm-hmm.
I'm going... And honestly, I don't put anybody on my show just because they're a black artist.
No, I
and sometimes
appreciate
I get
that.
In trouble for that. But I'm like, why would this is my? You can tell me that I'm completely wrong here. I never want to take someone. I don't care, man, woman, because this was happening with a female artist as well. They were like, just put female artists on. I was like, but if I put a female artist on that doesn't come on and crush, everybody's gonna go. That's why we don't put female artists on. And so I would get hammered.
Oh, of course.
And listen, I was touring. I was taking out female artists. I was doing whole concerts at Ascend. Yeah. But I just couldn't allow myself to highlight someone that I felt like me highlighting them would hurt the cause more than a quick highlight would help it.
Like, to me, the coolest thing right now is John Party taking Lainey Wilson and Hayley Witters out on the road with him. And you already know, like, you put them on a stage, it's like it's a done deal, it's a wrap, like they're gonna,
it's Tierra.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I mean, that to me is, yeah. I watched Tierra, I didn't know she had sent a video in a couple years prior that I thought was so good we played it on the show.
Yeah.
But I didn't even connect them, right? And I'm talking to her and she's like, you remember when I sent the, and she's so country, it's
hilarious. Yes,
she's like, you remember when I sent that video in? And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And so we played it and I was like, wow. And just to watch her, and she opened some shows for me here,
yeah.
And I'm taking her to the Today Show in a couple weeks.
Awesome, awesome.
But it's not because she's a black artist.
No, she's great.
It's because she's great. Just... But I do appreciate the fact that people are working to expose more anything that doesn't allow itself to be exposed naturally,
right.
And generously,
right? Like, I mean, because it's for me, it's like, again, it gets back to that point for me with having the best music in the space. Like, that's my job. Beginning, middle, and end. I'm a Nashville country music reporter, so I report about the best music in the space. So, like, yeah, you know, it's like I tell young, especially because young black artists will always talk to me and say, "Well, I think I'm ready," and I'm like, "Okay, well, I'll send them like L. King, for instance." Like, I sent somebody L. King recently, and I said, "Okay, that's the standard. Where are you towards that?" And I'm like, frankly, compare what you're doing on every scope to what she's doing. Not because she's white, but because she's great. Like, that's the standard for me right now for the thing that you're trying to do. And it's like, oh, so you think I could get there? And I'm like, well, I wouldn't send it to you if I didn't think you could get there. Like, if I didn't think that was a navigable jump for your artistic creativity and your presentation and your, like, you know, candor and everything, like, you know, you could, that's a thing you can reach. So for me, that's the next layer of this conversation is, once you get in the space, where is your growth in that space?
And are you getting resources,
right,
like everyone else is getting, to allow yourself to grow?
Right. And but the resources are there. That's the thing. If you show up like Madeline Edwards showed up in 2022, like, all the resources will be in your hands. So ultimately, then it is up to you to make those leaps, because the resources are there. Like, it's like, it's there. I always tell people this. I say, there are no closed doors in this city anymore. There may be closed minds in those rooms, but there are no closed doors. And that's the thing that has changed since the first time I came here in February 2021 in a musical like capacity. You know, I wrote the Giants CMT Charlie Pride, and to see that change has been heartening. And to me, it's like when you deal with closed minds, that's just a level of like people that are stodgy about talent anyway. So that's like, that's the next thing. But there's no closed doors. There's people with closed minds behind those doors, but the doors are certainly open now.
What'd you write today? Anything good?
Oh, yeah. So what's the guy's name who just had 100 number one singles
he played on.
Yeah. God, I can't think of the guy's name.
What's he play?
But guitar. He's an A&R too.
Yeah, I won't know.
Yeah, but I just wrote about him. What else did I write about that was good? Little Big Town. I sat down with them.
Yeah.
For Mr. Sun, which is a great record that's coming out. I interviewed them. I also I'm working on something about Ashley McBride's record on Lindaville, which I'm sure you've heard it.
I don't listen to anything before it comes out. I'm not you. No one depends on me for
they should.
What you... They don't.
They should.
They don't. They depend on you for pre and priming them for what they're about to get into. People depend on me for reaction.
Yeah, no, it's I explained that to somebody recently. It's funny you bring that up. Like, because somebody was like trying to like figure out why it looked like we had good chemistry. And I'm like, well, we're like freaking frack. It's like... I open the door, you walk through it, and Bobby's there. That's the way it should work. Like, if I open the door and you walk through, then Bobby's there. And if I open the door and you walk through and Bobby's there, then Bobby's only going to be there because I said it was good. And that's the way it should work. And they're like, wow, that makes sense. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of what we do. Like, that to me is hopefully where this heads in this town. Right. Like, that's one of my great hopes. Next steps for my career, at least.
Well, I appreciate what you do. You know, we generally don't have a lot of journalist writers here.
I know.
But
I was grateful. Thank you.
I think going back to when I mentioned agenda, I am in line with your agenda.
Thank you.
And I can appreciate how hard it is because I don't do it the same way you do it. And I don't take at times the risks that you take, nor do you take mine. But I can respect yours because I know what it's like to have to take them.
Yeah.
But I just think what you do is needed here. I like you as a person. And all that kind of worked out in the Venn diagram of right in the middle. Boom, let's have him on. So I just love. I told Mike, I was like, well, let's get Marcus on. Like, that was awesome.
Dude, seriously, I sincerely appreciate it. Like you're one of the reasons why I'm here.
That's not true.
No, it is.
That's
it
not
is.
True.
There are like five people
at this
town.
House right now. Yes, you're the reason. I'm the reason you're
whatever,
here at my house
man.
Right now.
So like, no, because as an outside observer, I watched you take flack, and I feel like you take flack like in a way that is unnecessary. And it's only because there's very few people that are willing to leap as much as you're willing to leap. Because Nashville, at the end of the day, is a very conservative place. And maintaining a status quo, there's a certain economic bottom line that's, you know, benefited by people maintaining a status quo. And to take leaps in the midst of that is incredibly difficult, but necessary if we're going to expand the genre and the culture of country music as we have. So I'm like, I know what I want to do with country music. This is me in 2020 in the middle of the pandemic, like, you know, trying to figure out like my next move as a journalist, and country was it. I'm like, you know, if Bobby could survive-ish,
it's a good way to describe it. Yeah, ish.
In Nashville, then I'm like, I could possibly be okay. Like thinking the way I think and moving the way I want to move. So it's really heartening to hear you say that because it makes me feel like I'm doing something halfway right.
Well, same. Well, a lot of respect from me and from this entire room. And you guys follow, if anything, just for the fashion influence, Marcus K. Dowling. Just look at the. I don't even know how you have. Because I bet you they're not giving you a clothing budget.
No,
the Tennessee,
not
are
at
they?
All. Not at all. So
golly.
Like this is all like this is a mix of like getting like a pandemic check and not spending it smartly. this is a mix of like doing a lot of TV writing during the pandemic and doing a lot of like work that required me to like just sit around and stare at walls. Like, I mean, I've done stuff for A&E networks and CMT, Viacom, DC government, whatever. So, like, I wore a lot of hats. And again, like, at the beginning of the pandemic, I thought we would never go outside again. So I just started stockpiling clothes because on Instagram and on the internet, like, people were just, like, selling things at, like, ridiculous discounts. So, like, this shirt is from this place called Halls and Curtis. And they had these deals that were, like, four shirts for $150. And I love Elvis. And I couldn't find high-collar Elvis shirts anywhere on the internet. And then I found this one place in Great Britain that had high-collar Elvis shirts. And I'm like, they have an amazing deal. Wow. I'm going to buy a bunch of them. And then they sat in my closet for a year. And then once we started getting out into the world, and I'm like, wait, like, going out into the world is not going to be like a celebration? We're just going to have to go out every day like we used to? And I'm looking at my closet like, well, this is all I really have at this point. Like, I knew that, like, when COVID happened, I'm like, this is the end of the world. This is the end of times. This is, like, the terrible end of, you know, like, our, like, capitalistic, like, you know, nightmare, whatever scenario we're in. No, we're just going to kind of go back to things. And I'm like, I have this whole closet, so I have to put these clothes on at some point.
Yeah, it's legit. You got a thing. Were you not the thing before pandemic? Like,
no,
you are now?
I was just, no, not really. Like, I was, country music made it all made sense. All the pieces were there. Like, anybody who knew me, like, all of the pieces that kind of came together in this space were all there. They just didn't have any commonality. Like, I can't wear collared shirts in EDM spaces. Not when I'm, like, at, you know, like, underground raves in Washington, D.C. at 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, wearing this shirt, I'm going to ruin this shirt. So wearing a T-shirt is definitely ideal. Like, wearing, like, bootcut jeans in the middle of the North, like, doing whatever I'm doing in hip-hop and R&B, I'm going to get laughed out of the room. Like, that's just going to happen. So, like, you know, like, eventually coming in the country, like, it just kind of, like, people don't understand. Like, this is not a professional move or not some kind of, like, socio-political thing that I'm trying to do because it's the wave and so cool, whatever, whatever. It's like, no, this is actually just weirdly how I view the world works for me best in this space. Like, anybody who knows me will tell you my ideal form of life exists between 1975 and 1983. They're some of the most golden eras in global history. The music sounds great. The fashion is amazing. The culture is incredible. Like, there's freedom and social movement and the ability to be, like, you know, a free thinker and to do things differently existed then. And I live there. Always have, always will. So, like, when country allows you to do this every day and nobody blinks an eye, why wouldn't I? You know, like, why would I? And then it's like, it falls into a thing where I could do it for every day for the rest of my life. Like, okay. You don't have to ask me twice. You know, like, you don't.
Well, follow Marcus.
Thank
Marcus
you.
Marcus K. Dowling. It's amazing. It's amazing. Every day I'm like, well, got to put a comment on that. You look great. Send. It's one after the other. It's all comments of me going, you look wonderful. Looking good.
Thank you. Yeah. Sincerely.
Have you watched the rehearsal yet on HBO Max? You
know, yes.
Yes. You have?
Yeah.
What do you think about it?
It's good.
Isn't it?
Good.
Isn't
it's great.
It?
I love it. Like, I started watching it last week.
I mean, when I watched the first episode, I was jealous of what Nathan had done.
Yeah.
Because I went, I mean, you're five layers deeper than I've ever been. And it's one of those where it's just an appreciation of... Mm-hmm. And it's, for those that don't know what it is, it's called the... Mike, you watched the rehearsal yet?
I haven't started it yet, no.
No, you should.
I thought it was... I honestly thought it was a scripted show at first. I was like, oh, Nathan, for you guys doing a scripted show. It ain't.
No.
He gets with people who are about to make big life decisions, and he rehearses it with them.
Yeah.
And it's so much deeper. It's crazy.
As a person who, like, you know, like, mixes psychology with everything I do, like, I'm just like, yeah, this is beautiful.
I was sitting next to my wife, and I was like, I can't believe you did that. That's amazing. She was like, shut up. I was like, all right, sorry. She goes, let's just watch the show.
It's that fact when people who get around us who don't, like, approach this at the layer that we have to approach it at. Like, I always tell people that, like, yeah, you look at things molecularly, but, like, I live with the molecule. So it's like there's a layer that you could never imagine exists that exists.
I think she also wanted me to shut up and just stop yelling. I think if I'd have been doing that on a lower volume level too, it'd probably been okay.
You're probably not wrong. You're probably not wrong.
Marcus, good to see you. Buckets of admiration. I hand them all to you now.
And same to you.
Follow Marcus. Follow his work. Subscribe to the Tennessean.
Yeah.
All the things that he. He's handing me $3. Okay, and also tell him he's... No, you're not handing me any money. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I have a podcast coming with the paper.
You do?
It's called The Tradition. Myself and LeBron Hill, he's an award-winning opinion writer.
Is the feed up yet to subscribe to, or we just say it as a pre-announcement?
It is a pre-announcement. It is forthcoming. We are 6 episodes in. There's an episode with Low Cash. There's an episode with Wendy Moten. There's one with Walker Hayes, Blanco Brown, Leslie Fram.
It's awesome.
It's gonna be a fun time. I have an episode where I talk about my love of Teddy Pendergrass and how he could have been a country star. Like it's really been a.
When is that happening?
It should be up within the month.
Oh really?
Like, yeah. So like by the time this is out, like you'll come back to it and it'll be out. So.
Well, if you ever am like we'd like to really scrape, I volunteer. I don't do a lot of podcasts that aren't my own. But I'd be happy to come.
Okay, thank you.
If you find a different reason.
No, I'm 1,000% having you on. Okay. That just goes without saying. Wow.
There he is. Marcus, good to see you, buddy.
Oh, brother, same here.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines. Plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com. You can probably spell it. You probably know it. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.